Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here with my man, Emmanuel Acho. Air Bowls. Oh, I can see it in your eyes today. Let's get started right now with DeSean Jackson, who is facing some major blowback after the Eagles receiver posted what he believed were quotes from Adolf Hitler that promoted vicious anti-Semitic stereotypes about Jews secretly controlling the world. Quotes actually turned out to be fake, and Jackson has since apologized, claiming it was a mistake and he doesn't hate anyone. Eagles are still figuring out how to handle the situation. So, Acho, what do you think the Eagles should do here?
Man, this is a topic, Marcellus, that we had to address.
Yes.
To the point where I called the producers and said, hey, move this to the top of the show. Because we would both be remiss if we were to have our own platforms where we talk about racial reconciliation. Yeah. But then when it comes time to talking about prejudice that may not directly affect us, we sweep it under the rug.
Preach.
So
Preach.
Let's just take it head on. Ignorance is no longer acceptable in any shape, in any form of any kind. Ignorance is no longer an excuse. Ignorance may be an explanation, but ignorance is not an excuse. When I think about DeSean Jackson and what DeSean Jackson did, you're too grown, you're too old, and you should be too educated to make these type of offensive mistakes. Again, you should be too educated to make these type of mistakes. Mm. Now, I trust DeSean Jackson to beat me on a go route all day. I trust DeSean Jackson's knowledge of the doctrine of an NFL playbook. But do I trust DeSean Jackson's theology of an Old Testament? Not so much and not so fast. But I want to do something, bro, because we have to talk about intention.
Come on.
We have to talk about intention. Mm. There's a difference between first-degree murder, which is premeditated, second-degree murder, which may be a heat of passion, and involuntary manslaughter, which was an incidental yet still unlawful act. When I think about DeSean Jackson and what he did, I relate that to involuntary manslaughter. Because I don't think DeSean Jackson meant to offend anybody. Mm. I don't think DeSean Jackson was knowledgeable about exactly what he was doing. But the problem is, he still did it, and that is unacceptable. However, let's get to the point.
There we go.
Let's get to the point.
All right.
I'm done with cancel culture.
Mm. Are we going all the way?
I'm done with, man, DeSean Jackson. What did he just say? Let's be done with them. Because what cancel culture doesn't do, Marcellus, it doesn't educate. And it doesn't allow room for growth. I received an email 2 weeks ago. I started this show called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black
Man. This show is major.
I received an email from this woman in Canada. Mm. And she said, Emmanuel, thanks so much for these episodes you started. I've never been able to have conversations like these because I don't know any Negroes. I said, I said, wait a second now.
Hold up.
It's not appropriate to call Black people to call me a Negro. However, I know you didn't mean anything by it, so I'm going to educate you so you don't make the same mistake again. Mm. That's what needs to occur right now. DeSean Jackson needs to face his Twitter punishment, and the Eagles need to punish him as they deem fit and as they see fit. However, cancel culture is idiotic. Because it doesn't allow for growth. Because remember, when you think about the question on the floor, what should the Eagles do? I was in the Eagles locker room in 2013.
Hold on. Somebody else was there.
A man by the name of Riley Cooper.
Ooh.
I was in the Eagles locker room in 2013 when receiver Riley Cooper goes to a Kenny Chesney concert right before training camp and says, I'll whoop all you N-words with the hard ER.
Huh.
And if you know anything, you know the hard ER is a little bit different. Riley Cooper's punishment, he got 5 days off of training camp. Riley Cooper's punishment, he balled that season, got a 5-year, $25 million extension. Now, two wrongs do not make a right, and I don't think the Eagles necessarily handled that Riley Cooper situation properly, but my biggest regret, Marcellus, was that I never sat down with Riley and said, hey, bro, do you know why what you said was wrong? So when you talk about this DeSean Jackson incident, it's not just enough to have an apology for D-Jack.
Yeah.
He needs to pick up the phone. He needs to call somebody who can educate him. He needs to talk to a Jewish brother, a Jewish sister, and be like, hey, bro, hey, sis, educate me, because clearly I don't know enough.
Man, you said so much. So many golden nuggets in there. And I just want to pick some of the parts and just follow your lead. You started with education. You ended with education. Mm-hmm. In his pursuit to find, to seek whatever he was looking for in terms of trying to explain some of the issues going on in his life, his community life, and people of his likeness, all the systemic issues that everyone's trying to address right now, it starts with an education. Mm-hmm. And your education has to be deep. It has to be intent. There are people who have PhDs who do this on the daily and are still out there being unheard versus a guy who has a platform because he can catch the ball correctly. And everyone's listening to the guy who catches the ball instead of the people on the ground who actually know what this is about. Mm-hmm. So when it starts and ends with education, you got to understand if you're Deshaun Jackson, who says something that was ignorant. And ignorance is no excuse. I grew up hearing that. I grew up knowing that. Deshaun, you have to be educated to talk about this. And educated doesn't mean you have a voice. You have a platform. That's what social media has done. It's empowered everyone to think that they're educated. One of the greatest articles I've read of late is The Intelligentsia Cannot Think. And it's in the Washington Post, great article that talks about how people have been dumbed down because now they all have a voice and they think that they sound smart. Deshaun was wrong. Completely wrong. I have nothing to say about that more. Then he doubled down on being wrong because he gave out, as Bo Wolf even talked about, the empty apology. And the sin of the empty apology, as he states, is focusing on the offense taken rather than the content and context of what he did.
Correct.
That was so objectionable. Mm-hmm. I wish people understand this. I posted about this maybe a month ago, about how people are so quick to rush out of their contrition, out of their apologetic state because they just want you to forgive them. But what did you do? Mm-hmm. I need you to own it before you disown it. Own what you did and what you really meant in that moment. And that was not fully understood, even in his apologies. Deshaun's a friend of mine. And I, in my family, we go even harder at our family and friends than we do at strangers because you are a part of the family. But Deshaun made a misstep, complete egregious misstep in what he said. And you talked about it. Intent. What was his intent? And I understand how you're trying to measure the penalty against him because of the intent. But I learned a long time ago that it's not just intent, it's effect. Intent has to be weighed with effect. What's going to be the consequences of this? And let's talk about that. The Eagles made a statement, and I'm going to have to translate this to you guys, because he already posted the ignorant post and apologized and showed contrition. I know he feels the pain of what he said, but this is what the Eagles said. We are continuing to evaluate the circumstances and we'll take appropriate action. Everybody out there, you know what that means? You guys, your sentiments determines his sentence. Your response, your reaction, your outcry will determine the consequences. The Eagles are not done with this situation, nor maybe should they, because as you said in the beginning, it's about education. It's okay to apologize. It's okay to do something wrong. Not this wrong, but hey, you did it. But we need to educate you, something that even in your Riley Cooper conversation wasn't fully done. Education needs to occur.
What do you think the punishment should be?
Woo! And you're talking about, look, it can't be slap on the wrist. It has to be heavy-handed. But now we're getting into what the apology, what the consequences will be. Let me answer this, maybe taking you through relationships. Saying something that is offensive, and we know what he did, is not the only indiscretion you have to be on the lookout for. It's what's offensive, but also what hurts people, what polarizes, and what divides. So now I'm looking at what should we do with Deshaun Jackson in the NFL? And we can't be hypocrites. You talked about the Riley Cooper punishment. He was rewarded with a new contract.
Facts.
I mean,
facts.
Like, he had to apologize to the team, apologize to the community, took a few days off, and came back and got some more money. This is a different time. This is a different era. This is a different climate. So it won't be the same punishment. It's going to be harsher. But what should we do with Deshaun Jackson when we're looking at an NFL that is also in partnership, in conversation, in relationship with things that polarize, that divide, and that also hurt people that are offensive? I'll give you this example. Black Lives Matter and a tweet that is on the NFL's timeline. Black Lives Matter that came out of Goodell's mouth and in partnership and some speculation of how they're going to continue that relationship. They are known as offensive to some in the NFL. There are 1,800 men on that field, many of them fathers. In the Black Lives mission statement, there's an omission of those same fathers in the new disrupted Western nuclear family. So what do you do in reconciling
that situation where you're in partnership and you've talked about supporting something that is actually trying to omit or undermine what you have on the field in terms of men and what they pride themselves as fathers. Colin Kaepernick comes to mind. And Colin Kaepernick and them pursuing that relationship would love to work with Colin Kaepernick. No matter what your beliefs are on Colin Kaepernick, when he comes out, what is this, 4th of July, starts off, black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, terrorized by America for centuries and are expected to join your commemoration of independence while you enslaved our ancestors. We reject your celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all. We do. First of all, none of us should speak for all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's already an issue right there. And then if your job, like if Colin Kaepernick is employed right now by the race industry, you're going to now employ and partner yourself with someone who says this. Now, there are 30 white owners sitting there, and you're trying to partner with an organization that is eradicating white supremacy. And everyone's wondering why Jerry Jones is not speaking right now. I wonder as well. My point of all of this is saying, the same guy, Colin Kaepernick, who used to post, happy 4th of July, everyone. I hope everyone has a blessed day, has flipped that script to where he is now. Fine, respect to that. But what is the NFL stance going to be when you're talking about someone who is polarizing, dividing, and you're talking about an organization that's doing the same to your own constituents, your own people, your own players? I ask you this. If your left hand's going to come down heavy on DeSean Jackson, is your right hand also going to partner with organizations that are doing the same polarization?
I'm with you. And I think, for me, it comes down to this. The Eagles have to make a decision. They have to. Now, that decision does not have to mean, and it better not mean, terminating DeSean Jackson's contract. Because that doesn't do anything for growth of anybody. That does nothing. For me, it's really simple. Education, not just on what matters to you, but education on what matters to everyone.
There you go.
Because the problem is we only educate ourselves on the things that are important to us. Prior to this show, I called up my friend, a Jewish man, played in the NFL for 10 years. I said, hey, bro, why was what DeSean Jackson did so offensive to you? Because I want to learn the pain that you are talking about. As a man, if you were to ask me, hey, bro, is pregnancy painful? I'd say, yeah, I think so. But my word don't matter that much because, one, I'm not a woman, nor have I ever given birth. So no matter how much I want to empathize, I can't fully empathize because I haven't gone through that situation. With that being said, you have to fully be able to understand and fully educate because I'm tired of involuntary manslaughter emotionally. It's not enough anymore. Ignorance? We can't let it slide.
Well, we can't let it slide, but let's just go there. Like, there's too little education with people who have too many followers. So that's why I tell people all the time, I am not a role model, not because I'm irresponsible with my platform. It's because if you're letting me raise your child, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to keep all of this information circular in your own home. You need to breed. You need to read. You need to plant seeds in your own familiarity and grow that. And it takes time for it to bake. And that time is the education. You can't just go through Google, read one article, see one video, and think you know it all. And so, look, I'm not mad at social media because it transmits amazing messages across the world in a millisecond. The problem is, too many people are saying things out of turn, out of context, that have not fully educated themselves. Don't lean on the people who are truly educated. Those people have fewer followers. And then the ones who are out there looking at those guys, oh, well, DeSean said it, so it may or must be true.
Facts.
And that's where we are in this vicious cycle of ignorance. And look, I'm very proud that I went to an Ivy League school, but that doesn't mean I'm a genius or more intelligent than you. Trust me, I've run into some guys who went to junior colleges. I'm like, damn, why'd you go there, dog? You smart as hell, smarter than me. My thing about it is we're getting lost and we're trying to now give accreditation to people who haven't earned it. I just wish everyone had a narrow scope. When you have an issue, if it's political,
go to the political scope and balance out your conversation. Don't be so binary. I'm liberal, I'm conservative, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat. As soon as you think you know what it is, find a counter argument and try to beat up what your beliefs are in the beginning. If we start to do that, we'll be more educated as a people. But unfortunately, Deshaun's gonna have to feel the wrath of this one, because this is not 2013. And this is an indiscretion that you just can't dismiss. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes says trusting the Chiefs to build around him was a big part of signing his new deal. We'll tell you if he's making a mistake. Next, Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to Patrick Mahomes, who continued to celebrate his record-breaking deal yesterday, posting an Instagram message to Chiefs fans saying he's just getting started. The quarterback also addressed the deal in a press conference and made it clear what his priorities were in signing.
Not only gives me the security that I've always wanted, but also allows opportunity for the team to be great around me the entire duration of my career. And I have full trust that things will get handled the right way as we go throughout this career, and that we will be in a position to win a lot of football games and hopefully win a lot more championships as my career goes on.
Joined now by NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. Big bro. But yep. Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. Do you think it's a mistake for Mahomes to trust that the Chiefs are actually going to build around him?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. And this is no indictment on the individuals, or Brett Veach or Andy Reid. I just know that in life, the only thing that is constant is change. Mm. I mean, come on. You hitched your wagon to the NFL. You know what the NFL stands for? Oh, you thought National Football League? Nah. Not for long, brother. Goodness, Patrick Mahomes. Whew. I've seen that menu before, and I saw the sauce on there before that says hometown discount, look out for the organization, take care of everybody because you love it where you're at. And I was like, I don't want to eat that. Nah, I'm going to take care of me. Where's the me meal? Because I'm going to eat that one. And I wish Patrick Mahomes had that spirit, but I fully respect that he's trying to build a legacy, which is more of a story. On top of accomplishment and production, it's more of a glossy story. So good luck to him. But this is the problem. When you hit your wagon to something that's not going to be there for long, and that's just the way it goes in the NFL, what do you do when you talk about your head coach and Andy Reid, who's only had 3 losing seasons in 21 years? So you're like, if Andy Reid's here, we're going to win some football games. Duh. But the problem is, Andy Reid's the 4th oldest coach in the NFL, young man. And at 62 years old, you know who the oldest coach was to win a Super Bowl? His name is Bill Belichick at 66. So if you start doing these numbers, 66 to 62 in the runway, and no one's ever done it after that age, maybe we don't have a ton of runway in front of us. And then you start to look at, why did you sign a long-term deal in the first place? Because your father and your godfather, who are both former Major League pitchers in baseball, told you to do it, and it confirmed what you were feeling. There's one big difference between a contract in baseball and in football. It's guaranteed. No wonder them dudes be spitting sunflower seeds and just chilling in an outfield with a big wad of gum. Because they like, no matter what happens, I'm good. You're not in that situation, Patrick Mahomes. If everyone's thinking like you, somebody has to leave to go get their money. If everyone's thinking like you, everyone's going to be in a situation where they're like, there's not enough to go around. Patrick Mahomes, he sold himself on the idea, but the execution of the idea is going to fall short.
Marcellus, you are in the front of the restaurant. You, my friend, are not the chef. You're not a sous chef. You're not a line chef. You're not a food prepper. And I know by the way you responded to this question, of course they're building the team around Patrick Mahomes. And of course he should trust it. Think about this. I got a nice piece of fish that I'm about to prepare, It's marinating right now. Salmon, right?
You didn't even say salmon. It's salmon,
right? It's a wild style, right? Sure. Now, listen, when I bought that piece of meat, all right, when I brought it home, I could still mess it up. I could mess up the flavoring of it. I could over-season it. I could under-season it. Mm. What's going to go along with it? Mm. Am I going to do asparagus? Am I going to do potatoes? How am I going to prepare those potatoes? Everything goes into how this meal is going to turn out. But the main part of the meal is how do I make it work with that fish? That's right, Acho. How do I make it work with that fish? and the Kansas City Chiefs just gave half a Billy, right, halfway to that bill, to Patrick Mahomes. And you know what that means?
What?
That they got that main dish. They got that we going tomahawk, right, Kansas City Chiefs. They got that tomahawk steak ready to go. But they got to make sure that they prepare it the right way. They got to make sure that the sides are right. Who's that going to be? Is it going to be Kelsey? Is it going to be Tariq? Is it going to be your line? Is it going to be the way you fix your defense? However you look at it, you are building that team around the main course on your menu, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
But here's the problem, big bro. This is a problem. I remember I was in college, and, you know, we had to ball on a budget. Scholarship checks would only take you so far. But, you know, whether it be Valentine's Day or some nice little date night, you go out to a nice little steakhouse, and you order that tomahawk that you're talking about. Sure. But then you remember, you're out of money. And so you can't get you no side. All you can afford is that complimentary house salad. And while that steak is still fire, okay, you ain't got nothing to partner with it. When Patrick Mahomes is balling, what we have seen historically with quarterbacks that ball is teams forget it wasn't just the quarterback that got them there. Okay. Think about the Seahawks, Russell Wilson. He was balling. He was balling. But all of a sudden you lose Sherm. All of a sudden, you lose Earl. You start to lose some of them big pieces. Think about Patrick Mahomes. He was balling. He is balling. But what happens if you lose Tyreek Hill? Because ask any defensive back in the National Football League. Tyreek Hill is an impossible cover. Travis Kelce, a top three tight end in the league overall, a top two pass-catching tight end. Mm-hmm. What happens when you start to forget it's not all about the quarterback? I do think Patrick Mahomes is a man, but I'm also reminiscent of this point. Aaron Rodgers, he really started his career right around 2008.
Yeah.
By 2010, A-Rod had won a Super Bowl. 2009, 2010, he had a top 10 defense. When you think he had a top 10 defense again after winning a Super Bowl in 2010? Not until this past season.
Hello.
So I say that to say after you win, you won with A-Rod. He's still young. He's about to win 3, 4, 5 more Super Bowls. One of the greatest arm talents the NFL has ever seen. But they forgot to put pieces around him, even to the point of drafting a quarterback this year when the dude has been begging for pieces for the last 5 years. I think the Chiefs have to be mindful. And Patrick Mahomes, he can't trust it because history says otherwise. History says otherwise.
Yeah, man. Y'all go in there. I ain't going to talk about no more food because y'all killing the food.
Oh, I'm coming back.
The food.
Back. Are you going back to the restaurant?
Okay.
But I'm away.
Ain't it funny that a dude who went to University of Texas talking about he ran out of money? I don't know how that happened. I'm going to leave that alone. Here we go. Patrick Mahomes talking about full trust. Full trust, but his full trust is not in himself. It's in the organization. If it is to be, it is up to me.
Talk about
Patrick
it.
Patrick Mahomes, as good as you are in football, let me talk to you, homeboy. As good as you are in football, you didn't bet all on you. I know the greats do in other sports. Michael Jordan, one-year deals. Kevin Durant, one-year deal. LeBron James was getting into that one-year deal for a while. And you know what? Let's bring it back home to our sport because you wanted the long-term security. But as we talked about last segment with DeSean Jackson and education, I wish that Patrick Mahomes was educated on the long-term deal in the NFL. It's a thing of yesteryear for a reason. Dante Culpepper, Mike Vick and those guys, all of them used to sign those 10-year deals. And nobody lasts on those 10-year deals for a myriad of reasons, including y'all said y'all were going to do this, and now you're doing that. So let's talk about Brett Favre, who signed one. He only played 7 of his 10 years. That's Brett Favre, 7 years on a 10-year deal. Drew Bledsoe, 1 year. He got hurt. Put his backup in. They won. You got to go, Drew Bledsoe. There goes that deal. You talk about McNabb played on his deal, 8 seasons. Culpepper, 3. Vic, 3. The point of it is, why didn't you just take the short-term deals in the NFL the way to get paid? And to make sure that your team can do well is get to that negotiation table as many times as you can. Not just say, I just want to chill out and let everyone else make more money than me and hope that the team takes care of me and our personnel.
There's different routes to getting to the final destination. Right. I don't have a problem with them taking that long-term deal. And for what it's worth, you look at Mike Vick. Mike Vick is the most, I guess, closely compared to Mahomes. We all know why he only made 3 years on that deal. Don't make it seem like he didn't make that 10 years on that deal.
What you talking about, Willis?
Other than what it was.
What you talking about, Willis?
I ain't going to go there.
All right.
That's my dog. It ain't no reason to bring up
you didn't have to say that's your what? You didn't have to. Keep going.
Oh, dang. That's my dude. Acho, let's go to the food. If you don't properly plan.
This show.
If you don't properly plan when you go to your meal with your girl, you deserve what you get, the embarrassment of not being able to pay for the side.
That's fair. Okay. Because
here's the thing. Sides are not very expensive. They're never going to be as expensive as the main course. And for what it's worth, when you are able to afford a main course, I don't know what restaurants you go to, but generally speaking, when you're able to go to a place in college where you're paying for a main course, it has the sides included with it. Because you know why? Because they're not expensive as the main course. So they can go ahead and throw some broccoli
not
on the
LA.
Side, so, throw a baked potato on the
not
side.
UCLA.
All right.
Not SC.
So the bottom line is them all them pieces that you're talking about, they're forgetting about. They're not going to be able to sign. Sure, they're going to be able to sign
yeah,
them. They'll be able to sign those guys because they're not going to be commanding the same coin that one Patrick Mahomes is.
They might not be as expensive. But they might not be as expensive, but they're definitely as valuable. Remember the Super Bowl, and I'm about to show y'all the play. It was maybe 3rd and 15. The Chiefs are trailing. They got to figure something out in the Super Bowl. They're down by 10, and they call a play called Wasp. It's to go to Tyreek Hill. Off Mahomes' back foot, they make the conversion, and now they rally back and end up winning the biggest game of Patrick Mahomes' career. You want to know the only receiver in the NFL who would have likely been able to beat that double team or at least that single by the high safety and convert on 3rd and 15 down by 10? Tyreek Cheetah Hill. So while some of these sides might not be as expensive, I want to remind the fan that Pat Mahomes is a dog. Pat Mahomes is that dude. But
Mike Thomas, Julio Jones.
No,
I don't buy it. All I'm saying to you is that's his job.
Come on, coach. Come on, coach.
That's his job. That's Tyreek Hill's job is to get downfield and catch that ball. That's his job.
Julio Jones is a
beast. That's his job.
Mike Thomas is going to get you high volume catches. But do not talk about the difference in creating separation on a 3rd and 15 between Cheetah, who is one of the fastest players the NFL has ever seen, and Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas is a beast, but he's a beast for a different reason now. You mixing up your side dishes. You just compare mac and cheese to broccolini. You just compare mac and cheese to broccolini, and I won't tolerate it. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes' young career.
Yes.
But is he on the verge of transcending sports like Jordan? Oh, no. We're going to get into that next. Speak for yourself.
Presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's return to Patrick Mahomes, who has quickly become the face of the NFL with an MVP and a Super Bowl already under his belt. But now, after signing his massive 10-year deal, Bleacher Report says Mahomes is on the verge of becoming sports' next transcendent star, on par with Michael Jordan, whose influence reigned over American culture for decades. We're joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick DeBuecher. Nacho, start with you. Can Mahomes reach the same heights as Jordan?
Come on, bro. No, but it's not a knock on Mahomes. The problem is that people have such recency bias. This is a problem, Marcellus, with kids these days. I love talking about kids these days.
And you 29.
No. Let me get away with it, bro. This is the problem. You get so marveled by one or two or three things that you see, and you start to make these lavish and wild proclamations. Mahomes will be the next Jordan. He can't be the next Jordan because he has to win that many titles as Jordan. Think about quarterbacks that have won 3+ Super Bowls. Aikman, Brady, Montana, Bradshaw. You got 4 quarterbacks in NFL history that have garnered that many Super Bowls, and Jordan gave you 6 titles. So to be like Mike, I want to be like Mike, you got to win like Mike. Mm-hmm. So that's Mahomes' first hurdle, and he just can't orchestrate that much success individually as a quarterback because you got to deal with 22 players offensively and defensively. But the second main point.
I caught that.
You have to have that Michael Jordan swag. And Patty Mack, Patrick Mahomes is a bad man. I love his no-look passes.
Uh-oh, here comes
the
shot.
I like Pat Mahomes.
Here comes the shot. Yep.
He ain't got that Jordan swag.
I knew it.
I mean, you ain't got cats trying to wear Pat Mahomes' shoes. You aren't completely revitalizing and being a catalyst for culture. Like, Pat Mahomes is a cold, cold-blooded quarterback. But when you want to compare Pat Mahomes to a guy like Jordan, you got to do your research.
Ooh.
Thank you for the recency bias reference, Longhorn. I really appreciate that. 3 years into Mahomes' career, We're not talking about can he be the best player in football. We're talking about whether he can be the greatest athlete arguably ever in the history of sports, which is where we put Michael Jordan.
Talk about it.
He has – ultimately, he has no chance because, as you, to your reference, Michael Jordan wasn't just arguably the greatest player in his sport or one of the greatest players of all time. He's a global icon. You mentioned the shoe the shoe and apparel brand with one of the most recognizable logos on the planet. I'm not even going to get into comparing number of championships. Simply the presence and the visibility of Michael Jordan globally, Patrick Mahomes can't get there because they don't look at the NFL in China, in Eastern Europe, in quite the same way that they do in basketball. So I think there are ways in which Patrick Mahomes can make his mark and be the most whatever, but it's not the most like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, look, this is not really a conversation, unfortunately. And Patrick Mahomes is going to be amazing. He's going to kill it. He's going to be the face of the NFL for at least 12 more years, if not longer. We know that he's going to be the man. But asking, can he be Jordan? Have y'all seen his shoe closet? Like, Patrick Mahomes got on Jordan. He's talking about he going to be Jordan. It's not happening. I'm going to have the Q rating conversation. Mm-hmm. And this is why I say there's no one ever going to catch Michael Jordan. And that includes the guy who's really closest, LeBron James. But I'll get to that later. Let's talk about why he can't close the gap or catch a Michael Jordan. It's not him. It's the audience. It's the attention span of his audience. We're talking about us now in 2020 and going forward. We have a microwave mentality. We watch YouTube, and if it says an ad pops up, we are frustrated. Skip ad, skip ad. We don't have time. We're not as impressionable. When I was growing up, we had three channels, and we had to watch them.
What three channels?
ABC, NBC, CBS. Then you got On, Select. You got those kind of things going. We only had a ColecoVision, Atari. Like, look, now there's 3,000 channels. Literally, networks pop up on your phone in your pocket, and you're looking like, what's this? They're selling me something else. And that's the mindset of his audience today. We're too cool for school. We have too many options. And even if you're great, you know how much more you have to do just to be in the same vein, same conversations, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan got cut in high school and didn't play. LeBron James was a phenom on the cover of Sports Illustrated and on TV in high school. He skips college because he's so damn good. Michael Jordan, obviously at that time you couldn't, but he played through college. Get to the pros, LeBron hits the ground running, takes the team to a championship by himself. LeBron James is sitting there like, man, I still ain't enough. Wins championship at the championship three. He's halfway there. Then he has to do a production company. He got to do podcasts. He got to do TV shows. You have to do 20 things to just be compared to Michael Jordan, who only did two things. Play basketball and have fun. Like, that was it. It's a completely different era. There's no way any current athlete is going to ever catch Michael Jordan.
Facts. Now, we can applaud Pat Mahomes. So this isn't a Pat Mahomes bashing session. No. Best quarterback in the NFL. And right now, thus far in his career, had accomplished more in his sport than Jordan had accomplished in his sport thus far in Jordan's career in those first 3 years. But there was one player who was on track to being that super icon, and he had that blonde hair. Receiver for the New York Giants, Odell Beckham. Oh. He was the only NFL player in recent history that was actually on track. Remember when Odell went overseas and he's out here with fans? It might have been Germany. I don't recall. But in Munich, he got the whole crowd, a whole city in another trailing Odell. But Odell, he had the style. He played for the big market team. He had the hair and he had the flair. Odell was the only NFL player that was on track. But then my buddy had to go get a fresh fade. He had to keep it all black. And he had to go to the Cleveland Browns. Things change. But it's impossible, near impossible, for an NFL player to try to ascend to those heights like Mike.
Yeah, I believe that the category that Patrick Mahomes is playing in and could ultimately win is the most beloved athlete ever.
Okay. I'll take
because
that.
He's just, yes. He's so solid. He's such a good guy. Even that he's signing a 10-year deal and saying, look, I'm going to, and this sounds funny, like it's a hometown discount, right? I'm going to give you the 10-year, half a billion dollar deal to stay here. But that he's all about the winning and the playing and what can be put around him, wants to stay in Kansas City, all of that. Mm. I think of a guy like Derek Jeter. He's in that category.
Yes.
Steph Curry. Guys who ultimately even the opposing teams admire and respect. And this is really where it really goes off the rails with Jordan, because Jordan didn't have that nice factor. Mm-hmm. People didn't love Jordan.
Now you're talking.
They feared and respected Jordan. Mm-hmm. Mahomes just isn't in that category as that type of dude. And so, but I believe that if he continues on the path that he's on, that he's going to have that unique ability to win big, to do things in the clutch that you just come to believe in, and do it in a way where you're not even mad at him because you just you admire the person behind the accomplishment.
Yeah, you listed all those guys, and they all look up to Jordan. So hell no, it ain't gonna happen. The craziest thing is we consume sports differently. Remember when Jordan played? Not only did we only have like 3 channels, but we watched it. We watched first quarter, second quarter, had to suffer through commercials. Now people watch games on Twitter. Like they're literally like watching a game in the middle of it. Hey, oh, look out for the receiver. They're not even paying attention. They're not focused.
When I was a kid, we had to get up. We had to get up to change the channel. Okay? Right. We had 3 channels, and you had to walk to the TV.
Honestly, I just feel bad for y'all's childhood. So that's really what this has come to.
Oh, man. Well, coming up, LeBron James' infamous decision turns 10 years old today. We'll take a look back and tell you if the king actually took too much heat for it. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's move now to that man, LeBron James, whose most infamous career move, the decision, happened 10 years ago today. The King took a ton of heat for years after announcing he was taking his talents to South Beach on that over-the-top TV special. But it also ushered in a new era of player empowerment that rules the NBA to this day. Rick Bucher, I'm glad you stayed around for us. But Marcellus,
yeah.
I'm going to start with you. Did LeBron get too much criticism for the decision?
Hell yes. And finally, I get my moment to try and cleanse this palate of all this ignorance that's been going on since that decision occurred 10 years ago. What the hell was wrong with y'all? That reaction was the most selfish act that I've seen in response to something that happened in sports. It was selfish because it was all about how you felt. Oh, how dare he keep us hostage and go up there and embarrass us as a collective city. Nobody told you to recruit him. That's what happens in recruiting. If you don't get chosen, you just got to take your lumps.
Speak.
It was crazy to see so many people burning the jerseys, all this ignorance going on, when you didn't even give concern to who LeBron James was. Way more selfish response than the actual act of giving $5 million to the Boys and Girls Club, sitting there in that horrible plaid shirt. This dude wanted to be recruited. This dude never was recruited. And there were industries built. And people who were eating off of LeBron James's gift all the way since he picked up a basketball, all the way through high school, and in his first years in the pros, and he never was recruited. And he finally wanted to just have that moment where he sat there and said, I get to choose because you guys been choosing me as the chosen one ever since I was little. And then he does something like this, and people want to give him hell for that. Y'all are selfish. So, hell yeah, he caught too much heat. Respect to you, LeBron, for doing the decision still.
He didn't. He received too much heat for the decision small caps, that he decided to go play for the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Yes, the reaction to that was way over the top.
Yeah.
That's freedom of choice. He put himself in a position to be able to do it. No problem. But the criticism about the decision, the big caps, the show, the bringing the 16. Boys and Girls Club.
Oh,
like,
come
who
on.
Was
come
all
on.
That?
Lick.
Jim Gray.
Golly.
The vitamin water cooler in the background. I'm doing it for the children. Like, what the hell was all that?
Lit.
Q rating right out the window. And by the way,
no.
For the people in Cleveland getting upset, again, it's not that he did it. It's the way that he did it.
Oh.
There was no heads up. There was, I could be coming back all the way to the very end. If he wanted to keep his Q rating, because I know you're going to bring that up. If he wanted to make, his Q rating was based on he was the hometown kid who was going to try to bring a championship back to his hometown team. He ultimately totally sacrificed that and went glitz and glamour down to Miami. And he played it that way. Not five, not six, not seven, not eight. I mean, you could not have turned your back on the people of Northern Ohio in a more rude way than he did. And he didn't have to do it. He could have done everything that he did, but not done it where he was putting it in the face of Cavaliers fans and the people that thought he was a homie. I don't have a problem that he did it. The way that he did it, yes, he deserved every bit of grief that he got.
Marcellus, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. How you did that was mean. Why didn't you choose me?
I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken.
Choose me next
time. Ask me why I'm heartbroken, Marcellus.
Why are you heartbroken, Archer?
Because I just lost so much love for Slick, Brent. Slick, I didn't take you as a get off my lawn kind of guy, Slick. Slick, I didn't take you for a, come on, LeBron, you should be better than that. Slick, the love we share, Slick.
Yes. And you know what, I was just going to say, the longer I'm on this show, the smarter you guys get, and I might have to revise that now. This is the worst segment we've ever had.
Slick, let me clarify something, please. LeBron at the time would have been, what, a 25-year-old man who had gone to one NBA title in 07 against the Spurs. Mm. LeBron at the time is trying to build up his empire. LeBron isn't a 9-to-5 businessman that can diversify his portfolio in stocks and in real estate. So how does LeBron build up his financial and his marketing empire? Ooh. By making things like the decision? LeBron doesn't have the luxury to navigate the stock market all by himself and try to build up his own portfolio. Mm. He has to build up his portfolio by capitalizing off his skills and his skill set. Furthermore, all LeBron did was become a trendsetter, because now in college, you got kids jumping out of airplanes talking about, I'm going to UCLA. You got kids committing by changing different hats and different T-shirts and having a mama and them walk out of the stadium.
Yes.
All LeBron did was, as a young man, become a trendsetter, Slick. Furthermore, this is why you disappointed me, Slick. This is why I'm heartbroken.
Let's hear it, brother.
Because you know better than to act as a fan. You know how fans are. You, the athlete, you owe me everything. You only exist as an athlete because I exist. So I deserve everything. LeBron don't owe nobody nothing. LeBron was out there slaving for the Cavs. Slaving. Dropping 25, if it wasn't 27 points straight against the Detroit Pistons. And still not getting chips. So how, Slick? Slick, how?
Ooh.
Can you be mad at LeBron for making the decision, capital T, capital D, or lowercase? Please, Slick.
Get him.
Again, it's not a matter that he did it. It's the way that he did it. That he had a show. I don't have a problem that he had a show. That he had a show in Greenwich at the Boys and Girls Club going for this cheesy, I'm going to tug at your hearts, we're going to give $1 million. Like, it just... It was how he did it. He could have done it in a different way where people didn't revile him for making the choice. I have no problem. And for fans who think that, I mean, number one, look, he had a variety of ways. He had a lot of things going business-wise that he was able to cultivate because he was the hometown kid from Cleveland. He was playing that innocent, hey, I'm a kid from Akron. I want to win it for my hometown team. That was a big part of his commercial success, and he threw that all away by the way he went to Miami. Now, he built it back up, but he lost something very critical there. He didn't know why people loved him, and that was it. And when he made the move to Miami, it became an entire – there was an entire image change for him. He went to Miami, and he left Cleveland because he knew at that time he couldn't maintain his status without winning a championship. And he was convinced it wasn't going to happen in Cleveland. I understand that. I appreciate that. And I think fans would have understood that too. But that's not the way that he approached it, because he had the Clippers and the Nets. Keep in mind, he had six teams that he was toying with at that time. And a number of those had nothing to do with winning a championship.
Well, Slick, I'm making the decision to take us to break. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes is entrusting his future to the Chiefs. And you know Uncle Jimmy's got something to say about that. Next, speak for yourself.
Welcome back. Let's talk Patrick Mahomes, who explained yesterday that his motivation for signing his 10-year, $450 million mega deal was not just financial security, but giving the Chiefs flexibility to build a great team around him. Joined now by famous Chiefs fan Uncle Jimmy. Do you think it's a mistake for Mahomes to trust the Chiefs to build around him, Mr. Fan?
Man, look, let me explain something to you, man. Dan Dawson, Bill Kenny, Steve DeBerg, Steve Bono, Elvis Gerbach, Joe Montana, David Craig, Rich Gannon, Warren Moon, Alex Smith. What do all these cats got in common?
What they got?
Because none of them pass like Patrick Mahomes. And that's what's wrong with both of you Mocha Flavor brothers. Y'all mad because y'all can't pass. That's why y'all was on the dark side.
Multi-flavor?
See, that's your problem. You're haters. That's what you mad about.
Ain't nobody mad at that. We're going to pass on you. Haters. That's it for us. Talk to y'all tomorrow, America.